Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And we are back with episode 3 of Star Wars Rebels Rewatch. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. And this is the first one we've recorded in a long time, right? We haven't done this in a bit.
I know, so much has happened.
A lot has happened. So what you guys have been hearing up to this point was the episodes that we had previously recorded for all of season 1 and then episodes 1 and 2 of season 2. Now, there's been some big developments, actually, since we recorded all of that. So you have been highly encouraged by several individuals that Rebels is worth your time. It is worth investing. And I just want to go ahead and be on record and say this, that I am I'm a good Jedi Master, okay?
You are.
And I did not just pick something that was going to be boring, that wouldn't be fun. I could have picked anywhere. I could have said, hey, let's go back and read Star Wars Legends books or do this or do that or what have you. Instead, I know my Padawan. I understand what is needed in these situations. And I knew that we needed to do a Rebels rewatch. And right now, episodes 3 and 4. So we just watched 3 and 4. We're going to talk about 3. Then we're going to talk about 4. But I knew that it would be really good. And I know, there's something I want to reveal to folks right now,
okay? Yep.
As we're watching on the Disney Plus app, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I'm not sure, there is an image of Kanan.
And his eyes look weird. And I turn around to ask you, is he going to go blind?
Is he going to go blind? And so I didn't even realize it was there, and the image is right there in front of the screen. And so since we're talking about, you know, we're talking about episodes 3 and 4 today, I just want to kind of make a connection to these two episodes with this. In episode 4, which we'll talk about in a second, but it's I think it's Captain Rex says, "We'll all be blind, but a Jedi won't."
Oh.
And so it just,
I know, like, the whole episode was about being...
Right.
Or seeing without your eyes.
Seeing, yeah. Being guided by the Force.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so it's like you have all of these, the storm is raging, right?
Yeah.
And Rex is like, the Jedi can see in the storm.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like crazy. And then so for you to see that right now during this episode is awesome.
Yeah.
That's sort of a spoiler. You obviously know something's going to happen. You can see it in his eyes. Mm-hmm. You can see something has happened.
Right.
And all I can say, and for you folks out there listening, she has no idea what that is. She has no idea what that scene is going to be. And it gave me chills on the couch when you said it earlier. You're like, does he go blind? And I was like, wow. you may not feel the same way, but like, it gives me, it gets me. I'm not gonna lie. It really gets me, and it is just such a shift, and it is such a it's such a good series.
Okay.
So,
I really try to not look at all the pictures, and I mean, luckily on the internet, I haven't seen anything yet, so.
Right.
But this time, it just stopped. The episode was done. The credits were, you know, over.
Rolling, yep.
And all of a sudden it goes back to the screen, and you usually pull the episode up, so I don't normally see that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, I just kept watching. I was like, oh, okay. And I couldn't help it, but I saw Kanan's eyes.
Yeah. Kanan's eyes. And it's just so good. This series is so good. It's a master and his apprentice. And so a lot of things, I guess. So let's just dive into episode 3 here and get after it. So they are looking for, so Ahsoka sends them on this mission to go find some allies.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that I like about the Rebels episodes. Mm-hmm. For example, and I'm gonna keep writing these down every time that they come up, because there's little tiny like half quotes that tie into the originals or that tie into the prequels, or it's like one or two words will match or allude to a quote that was made in the films, but not quite finished. And so I kind of want to point those out for some of you guys who maybe are into that kind of stuff, and just for me, you know, personally, I think they're fun. For example, when they first get there, they're going to see, we've got Captain Rex, and something that you said, whether it was this episode or, I better check my notes here, make sure I'm not jumping ahead. Okay, no, well, I'll save that, because we're going to see Captain Rex.
Yeah.
Ahsoka has sent us here on this mission. These are clones. They're from the Clone Wars,
yeah,
right?
Which I have not seen
You've not seen. You have seen in episode 2 and episode 3 in the main series, you've seen clone troopers, and you know that they work alongside them and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
There's that. Now, when the digits are stated to Rex, Ezra shows up and says, hey, have you heard these digits mean anything to you? He's like, now those are digits that I've not heard since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so when Obi-Wan in episode 4 when Luke says to him, I don't know, she's looking for somebody named Obi-Wan Kenobi, and the music plays, mm-hmm. everything changes, like you can see the look in Obi-Wan's eyes. He's been called up to that point Ben Kenobi.
And
yeah, he's been called Ben, right? And so he says, now that's a name I've not heard in a long time. Right. And so when Rex says, now those are digits I haven't heard since. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he sort of lists the date. But I thought, wow, okay, that's cool. Those are those half quotes that are things that are close that somewhat allude to what was said in episode 4 or 5 or 6 or 1, 2, or 3 or whatever. And I just think they're awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's great. So another one, and this is another tie-in to episode 4, they talk about a weapons malfunction. Now, weapons malfunction is a term that comes up a lot in different places or whatever.
Yeah.
It's the cadence, it's the way they say it, you know, like having a slight weapons malfunction. And again, that's something Han Solo says when he's on the Death Star, and there's this breakdown. They're breaking Princess Leia out, and they're pretending to be stormtroopers. They call up there to the detention cell and sort of say, hey, what's going on? He's like, everything's fine. No, you know, don't worry about it, etc. Slight weapons malfunction is what he says.
Have we seen that part in Tales of the Jedi?
Tales of the Jedi. We just watched that. So I'm trying to think which. It was. There was some Ahsoka, Count Dooku, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Trying to remember which episode that was.
But it wouldn't surprise me, though, if something like that was said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if some of these quotes, because again, that's what they sort of did in Clone Wars, or they did in Rebels, and then again with the Tales of the Jedi series, yeah, they're using different quotes from, or repurposing them a little bit, and making little kind of nods, you know, back to the main movies and stuff, which I think is really, just really fun, really, really cool. So, as we start this episode 2, another reoccurring theme in Star Wars is the hyperdrive always fails. They're always working on the hyperdrive. So you have Chopper and Hera working on the hyperdrive, and she's yelling back at him, you said you fixed it. I thought you fixed you fixed all the important things, but the hyperdrive wasn't necessarily important or whatever. I don't know. So I thought, okay, there we go. It's you know, it happens for like 2 seconds, but it's worth mentioning because that's always the case with Han Solo. I was just listening to a book this morning. It was The Courtship of Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. And again, there's an issue with the hyperdrive. And it's like, why can't they get this thing working? It's just, it's a reoccurring thing. It's a hunk of junk. And it's the galaxy's fastest piece of junk. And it just, it always has problems. So for Hera to kind of have, you know, that as well, I thought was interesting.
Would there be a better way to go into hyperdrive? What do they use? Huh. What's the energy source, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They are trying to, they're always working on it. They're always fixing it. And the Empire, it's just the resources that the rebels or whatever that they have. It just sort of shows that they're not as, I don't know, finely tuned as maybe like the Imperials are or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, yeah.
Just kind of funny. And it started in the originals, and then it sort of picked up and continued throughout, you know, different... whether it be the sequels, the prequels, or whatever, just sort of funny to have something fail.
Yeah.
Just some sort of, you know, malfunction. So another one. So Kanan also looked down the barrel of the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
He looks down the barrel of the lightsaber. Do you remember in episode 4 when Luke is like looking, he first gets his lightsaber and he's kind of looking around and he sort of like does.
Oh, you know where I saw that?
Where was that?
Magic by Michaela, her video about and Leia.
And Leia.
Like his little princess Leia was already ready to fight the rebels, and Luke's like, looks like a little,
he's like,
you know,
he's like, I'm not ready yet, you know.
He's what, 18, 19?
Right, yeah. And he's still
can't do that.
Gotta work on the farm, and then he's just staring down the barrel of that lightsaber. Yeah. And it's just funny because Kanan is looking down his in this episode. So now, the clones, just so you know, so they looked older, right? So they looked a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see them, they are retired. They're in retirement.
Yeah.
The Empire has said, you guys are out. Stormtroopers are in.
Why, though?
They were older. There was a lot of, I don't know exactly the reason being. It's explored a little bit in a series called Bad Batch, which we can talk about later, and we can kind of maybe even get into. But essentially, they're replaced with stormtroopers who sign up, and they want to be, they're committed to the cause.
Oh, yeah, we've seen that in season 1, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Did we? I don't know.
I think there was like a storm, like kids that wanted to sign up for the
camp. Imperial Academy. Yeah.
In the academy. Yeah.
For sure. So it's getting those people who, you know, want to join the Empire.
Yeah. They could become anything. Like not just troopers, but anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So. Gotcha. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. We've got the Jupa, so this whole episode is about them kind of chasing down this Jupa, and then we've got this conversation. So the big thing from this whole entire episode is the fact that Kanan does not trust the clone troopers.
Yeah.
Right. So his master was killed by Order 66. Order 66 is when the clone troopers, that chip in their head goes off. And yeah. Palpatine issues the Order 66, which is to kill and exterminate all Jedi.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. And actually what you saw a little bit of, remember we were talking about Tales of the Jedi, because you watched that with me. At the end there, Ahsoka is with Rex, and they're going out to face all of these other clone troopers.
That's what I meant.
That's what you were talking about. Okay, gotcha. So yes, we had definitely seen that before, and that is something that you're going to see later. We'll have to go back in Clone Wars and watch that. That's at the very, very end of Clone Wars. That's like the end of Clone Wars. Is Ahsoka escaping Order 66? How did she do it? How did she get away? And it's people like Rex. Rex was able to, you know, she senses there's something wrong. He actually opens fire. Well, I don't want to. Whatever. He opens fire on her. They all do. I mean, they all have the chip in their head.
Yeah.
And so, he had to kind of cut it out. And a couple of them did. And some of them resisted it a little bit longer than others, just based upon their personalities or whatever it was. But it was essentially a control chip that they, in large part, could not resist.
Yeah.
And so they're mind controlled, you know? So Kanan sees them attack his master. Now, what's interesting is the Jedi Masters were called generals. So did you notice that like Rex kept, he's like, yes, sir, general.
Oh, that's what he was
like. Yes, sir,
like,
general. Yeah.
I was never a general.
And he says, I was never a general. And then he switches to me. Yeah. He's like, oh, sorry, commander. So he went right to commander because masters were called generals and then their Padawans were called commanders.
Okay.
So they were commanders.
Ahsoka was a commander.
She was a commander. Yeah. And at the end, he greets her as commander.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, which is pretty cool. And you're like, whoa.
I mean,
it just takes you right back to the Clone Wars feel.
Yeah. So. That's what I thought. If I had seen that, it would probably be even cooler to see all these people come back and like little.
Easter eggs or connections, tie-ins,
connections
and stuff.
That they make. And but even though I have not seen it, I feel like Kanan has a right to feel the way he feels. Ezra was not there; he's just told the story. But Kanan watched his master getting killed by those
clones.
Yeah. And even though, I mean, it's a very difficult topic because the one of the clones, Rex, says you always have a choice, but then at the same time they didn't really. I mean, they were some of the most the strongest individuals. Maybe they had some, you know, strong will and time to do that, to cut it out, to chip. But I don't know.
He's actually a little bit, when you go back to Dave Filoni created this first and then went back and sort of, well, he had the Clone Wars was first, but like he went back to finish it, and that ultimate decision about which clones resisted or which ones made the choice, they didn't necessarily, I mean, like he did show some restraint and did resist to some degree, but he needed a lot of help from Ahsoka to get him on a medical table, to get him in there and to cut it out. So that sort of, you know, came later, and how are they going to deal with that? But it's a tough conversation because Kanan's got to deal with the fact that these guys killed his master, killed all of his friends, all the entire order is practically like, they're defeated because of Order 66. They're exterminated.
Yeah.
So,
and it's okay. He just doesn't trust them because who says they can't do it again? Like, have a chip in there and even if they claim they don't want no harm.
Well, I think so. Now what he said, so what we know, they just didn't have the scans. They, like, a lot of stuff was hidden from them. So now they've all gone and like checked their systems out, checked their heads out, and they've scanned, and you know, it just because as soldiers they were just following orders, and the medical team told them, are you good? Are you not good? Are you fit for combat? Are you not fit for combat? All that kind of stuff. They didn't really care whether or not what the scan showed or do I have some condition or is there mm-hmm. some chip in my head, you know? Mm-hmm. But once that gets out, everyone's just, you're checking. Okay, now I have a chip in my head. Or yeah. you were still being controlled by Palpatine and it didn't, you know, or that information didn't get out at large and they didn't go do that. So
yeah.
there is still some reason for Kanan to mistrust yeah. them because the order is still out there. It's still standing, essentially.
Right.
Right. So the reason these guys don't attack is they don't have their chip.
Yeah.
The reason they don't shoot a Jedi on sight is because right. of that. So yeah. So Kanan is justified in saying we should be
yes.
like immediately throwing his lightsaber up and
yeah.
and saying, oh, these guys are gonna kill us.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing he knew, last time he saw clones, they were shooting his master
right. down. And everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, so it's pretty touchy, and it takes him a long time, the whole episode, to really get over it and understand what happened to the clones. What has their yeah. life become like? What has yeah. the Empire done with them? So there's a lot of that kind of going yeah. on. A lot of that we're kind of sifting through all those emotions and stuff. So,
yeah.
And you got the feel of it because you and I, we've seen episode 2, we've seen episode 3, and we've talked a little bit about who is Ahsoka. Because she's not right. in those films. And so I had to kind of give you a little bit of backstory about who she is. She shows up, like, she's in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And so when you saw that, you're like, who? Okay, who's Ahsoka?
Yeah.
And so you need a little bit of context as to who she is. One of the coolest things, and I think it's this episode, or maybe it's episode 4, I might be blending the two together, but I think it was, yeah, Rex said that he served with one of the greatest Jedi.
Yes.
Of the Order. And yeah. you were like, you jaw-dropping moment, like, Anakin?
Yeah.
She's talking about Anakin? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. That would be him. Yeah. You said, wait, Anakin. He said, I worked with one of the greatest Jedi, and he saved my life more times than I can count.
Yeah.
So just awesome. Yeah. And so, again, Ahsoka is Anakin's apprentice, Padawan. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole Clone Wars sort of, I mean, again, it's about the Clone Wars, but a lot of different little sub-stories going on there. And the biggest one is Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Ahsoka is his apprentice. And then what happens to her? Why didn't she stay with the Order? And what, yeah, the whole.
Right. I mean, yeah. Tales of the Jedi already made me excited for that show. Because,
did it? Yeah.
Yeah, good. Because we see Ahsoka show up in at the funeral at Padme's funeral.
Yeah. Yes, she's there, and sort of you saw Mon Mothma there, you saw Bail Organa there as well, and so we're again deep into Andor. We got one episode of Andor left, and we're thinking about, okay, what could be coming next in terms of that, so yeah.
It's already very different watching Rebels now that I watched a couple of other Star Wars movies and shows, so definitely different from the summer.
Yeah, when you're starting.
When we just started.
When we just started. Yeah, because now you're starting to make connections and hear some of the same terminology, or see some of the, like, these similar faces kind of popping up here and there. You've seen the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, so we watched that together, and then now we've been digging into Andor, and we're going to continue with Mandalorian Season 3 and then Ahsoka and so on. So I feel like Rebels, though, is right here in this transitional period. It's between Episode 3, when Order 66 happens, and Episode 4. So after we're done with Andor, we're going to go back and we're going to do a Rogue One rewatch as well to kind of talk about, okay, what happened to the Death Star plans? How did they get there? And then Luke and Leia and Han Solo. That's what all of Episode 4 is about, and then blowing the Death Star up.
We probably should watch Episode 4, 5, and 6 after that.
Well, I'm just, don't tempt me, Frodo. I mean, I will do it. So, another thing I wanted to mention, this is really just sort of for me personally, an Imperial probe droid shows up. Imperial probe droid.
Yeah.
And it sort of captures the images and sends them back. You know, the first image I really can remember, the first scene that I can remember watching in Star Wars is actually Episode 5 on Hoth, when the Imperial probe droid shows up. And Chewbacca and Han Solo are out there dealing with it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the beginning. I didn't watch it from, you know, I saw that scene. I see them destroy it, go back and report and talk about it and call back into the Echo base. And I'm hearing all these code names and like they're looking for this guy, Luke Skywalker. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this show? And then it was something that was sort of taped over by, like, the Incredible Hulk came on next. And it was something that somebody had just taped over on TV or something.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so it was on an old VHS. That's how I originally saw Star Wars. And I was like, so I went to mom and was sort of like, and I had to go back and show her because she didn't know what it was that I had seen.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and it's Star Wars, you know? And so it was like in between, there were commercials and stuff and everything. And and so, yeah, we had to figure out what it was that I had seen as a kid that I was like, that's the thing.
Well,
that one, I want to watch that. Where's the rest of that story?
Somebody liked Hulk better than Star Wars.
Somebody did. I don't know who did that. That was so crazy to think about that story. Someone taped that. And it ended up in our VHS. I'm looking for a movie to watch or something, and I pull that out and pop it in, and that's Star Wars was on it. It's crazy. I still remember some of the commercials and wading through the commercials and fast-forwarding through them to get more of that Star Wars movie. And the whole thing wasn't finished, and so I wanted the rest of it. But it's wild. Wild.
You've never told me that story.
Didn't I? Okay, I feel like I might have. Yeah, I've said.
You just
I can
told
never
me
remember.
About the books that you
in the library
read.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So There you go. That was my first visual. You know the Imperial probe droid that's sitting over here behind me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that? Is it sitting there? Okay. Yeah. So the reason I got that was because that is, again, one of the first images I can remember.
Looks really cool.
From Star Wars. It's just crazy. So, okay. Well, hey, actually, so you want to just, should we just keep talking about episode 4? Should we just dive into that one?
No.
No?
No. I have something to say about episode 3. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yes.
I was shocked. They were just, I mean, Zeb could have died.
He could have died.
He totally, I mean.
How dare I gloss over that?
Excuse me.
I know.
He could have, I mean, the time he spent underground.
Right.
He could have
suffocated,
and they were all like looking at each other, like, "Okay, I guess those people know what they're doing," and they're just laughing and have a good time catching that thing.
It's kind of messed up.
Excuse me.
I know. That is a little crazy. Once you realize it's meant to be funny, and you're just like, "Okay, that's wild and extreme," but no, like Zeb could have died there.
Totally.
What would they have done if they would have just stood by and watched him just get off that way?
And
it's
then he
so
gets
ridiculous.
Out and he's like, "Oh, wasn't that bad?"
Yeah, he's trying to be a tough guy or whatever. I wonder if he really was, if they knew that the digestion would take
me
a
too.
While
me
and
too.
They, or they knew that he wouldn't be easily digested and that they had plenty of time.
Yeah,
but I don't know, this thing had some teeth on it, right?
But Ezra and Sabine didn't know that, and they didn't ask. They were like, "Okay,
yeah,
let's just roll with it."
Gregor was having the time of his life out there. He was having a blast. The Jupa, it had big teeth too. It could have clamped down on him and done him in.
Totally, like reminded me of Avatar. And I mean, there's something with those big monsters that probably I don't know, someone likes who does that. I don't know if Dave Filoni was the only one who worked on Avatar and Star Wars, but
yeah,
these big monsters keep coming up in both of the shows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've never looked into how many people maybe did he, you know, worked as illustrators or other, you know, producers or something. I never looked into that. I should see if there's any correlation to between the two shows or whatever. So, yeah. Okay. All right. So cool. I mean, I like Zeb a lot. Zeb is one of my favorite characters. Him, Chopper, I think they're hilarious, you know. Just
I think it's so hard to pick. I mean, I think we talked about
this. Very hard to pick.
A few like episodes ago, we talked about, or even in the beginning, I don't know, who was your favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked some, but I guess it's every single
now,
of the, you know.
I can't tell you my favorite because actually it would.
Okay.
I'd have to explain it so much more. I mean, I don't have to, but like, I want to kind of talk. I can't wait till the end of all of this to tell you what I like so much about this and what's actually going on. Because again, as I'm doing a rewatch, and this is your first watch, I'm seeing things that literally tie into this, like season 3 and season 4, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this was all like super well tied together and tells such a great epic story. So, yeah. Was it this episode? No, it was episodes 1 and 2, I think, for season 2, where Minister Tua is sort of talking, and they were trying to help her escape, and she gets killed as she boards the shuttle. But she knows the secret as to why Lothal is so important to Emperor Palpatine, not just the Empire. But to Palpatine.
Yes.
And you're like, I was like, hold on a second now. That's not like something we should just move on from. That's a big deal.
Not many know that.
Well, and so whenever, just like in Andor, anytime Palpatine's name is mentioned, you've got other people running the Empire and doing different things. But when Palpatine takes interest, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's the Emperor. So anyway, just
true.
Wild. Okay. So Should we continue into episode four? Okay, here we go. So as we get into this, it's sort of like they are able to, the storm is coming on, they're trying to get away, Hera is doing her thing, they're still trying to fix the ship, looking out for Imperials, oh crap, they're here. The Walkers show up and they're marching towards them, surrounding them. What are we going to do? And they have to kind of trust each other. They make a couple good shots. Gregor takes out the TIE fighter and you're like, all right, these guys are like fighting back.
Yeah.
And they're covering for us. Yeah. Right. So, which is good. And then there's this talk between Rex and Kanan about if we had a Jedi, if we fight together, yeah. if just like the old days.
Oh.
And he wants he reveres the Jedi. He respects the Jedi.
Yes.
And he enjoyed serving alongside them and felt like what they were fighting for was a good thing. They're all just sort of duped by Palpatine. So anyways, and I think Ezra says, well, this is one of those lines that again ties back into episode four a little bit. Somebody says to somebody, you guys are pretty good in a fight. I think it's Ezra who says to the clones, you guys are pretty good in a fight. And that's something that Han Solo says to Luke, hey, you'd be, you know, kid, you'd be a, you know, pretty good in a fight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we get that connection to Anakin, realizing that he served along Anakin. So that was good. So, the other one is, this is another little quote. When they're pulling in, they're going into the storm, and they've shot a couple times, they're turning, they're heading out. You have this line, I think it's Rex who says, if you've got a better idea, now is the time.
Now is the time, yeah.
Now is the time. And Obi-Wan Kenobi, when he goes again in episode three, and he's on Utapau, he sort of says, now is the time. If you have warriors, now is the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know it's not directly, but it just, it sort of evokes all those feelings.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I've heard that somewhere else before. And I'm watching a Star Wars production. And,
right.
Oh, that's something else in Star Wars. So that's sort of the little subtleties that you can do in these shows that make it feel super connected and just, I don't know.
And it can make sense because the characters know each other and they, you know, like sometimes if you like someone, if you spend a lot of time with someone, you adapt some of their lines. That's just how it is. Why not, you know? And why not experiencing part of that character through another character?
Right, yeah.
So
yeah, you know, you're right.
I think it's pretty awesome that you remember all these lines.
I can't believe, so as they're coming up, I was like, I need to take out my notepad and start like writing down notes because there's so many of them in these little episodes that are just, they're cool and they're referenced. And you guys know, if you've seen Star Wars, and so it's sort of this reward to, it's good dialogue that fits in a TV show.
Right.
It's fine. If you didn't know Star Wars, you'd be like, okay, fine. That's fitting. It all works. But if you have seen a Star Wars production or seen the prequels, the sequels, or the originals, you're like, okay, I know that line. I've heard that somewhere. And so there's an extra little layer and an extra little reward for people who have seen those things.
Yeah.
And then as even if you're a kid coming into this or if it's your first time just coming into Star Wars and you watch Rebels for the first time, you're like, okay, that's awesome. It has great storytelling and all, like literally without having seen the prequels, the originals or anything, I think you could watch Rebels and be what is going on?
Yeah.
It's one of those series that like it has everything you need contained in these four seasons for a great epic and really cool storytelling.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, Rex has met Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Because he was part of with Ahsoka and Anakin Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So why not? I mean, why, it could have been like Obi-Wan said that.
Picks up some of their lines.
A lot. And he just liked them. Yeah. I mean, he obviously respected and liked the Jedi's.
Yes.
The Jedi.
Yeah. The Jedi.
No
yeah.
S. Just Jedi.
The Jedi's. You can say the Jedi's. Those Jedi's out there. Oh, I like them a lot. Again, what you're saying, because if you're around someone like you and I mean, anybody, if you're listening, think of your friends or your circle of friends who you pick up those sayings or you see them and you say something kind of silly or funny, you know, or you pick up just the way they speak. My dad's already doing it as he's out kind of working with these younger guys and coming home saying things that they're saying. I'm like, whoa, what in the heck? Dad, where'd you pick that up from? But I mean, that's sort of what, you're right. It does make a lot of sense that Rex would be someone who would, you know, say that and it would sort of feel like Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So, which is great. Now, let's dive into a little bit of this mess that they get into. They are fighting in this storm. And it's just really epic because you've got the walkers. You have another cool quote here. You have in episode five, as the walkers are coming in, they're on the snow planet. They're sort of walking towards the shield generator, trying to destroy it. and one, and I think it's Admiral Veers or some, no, what's his name? Veers, I think. Yeah, it says intensify forward firepower. And, they, you know, Agent Callis says it here. So it's just one of those things where they use the same line. That was really cool. but as they're getting in on the, they're surrounding them, they turn to Kanan. And you I ask you if you heard the music. Did you hear the little twinkle, the little violin play there? It just something different. I wish I could, maybe I'll find it in post-production and put it in here for you guys as I'm speaking, okay? So you guys know what we're talking about. Because when you hear that, you know it's the Force.
Yeah.
You know he's using the Force. You can see his hand up there. You can see him scanning with his hand and sort of using that to stretch his mind forward and out into the storm.
I mean, it's vibrations.
And it's like, it's
the Force is the vibrations you feel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no true explanation or definition of what the Force exactly is, but that's what I imagine is... It's the energy that surrounds us, the Force, the life Force.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
You know, and it's like vibration. You don't need your eyes to see it, and it's real. Like, I mean, even in our world, people can probably sense, you know, more susceptible,
sensitive
to vibrations.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if you go blind, or if someone is blind and they can only hear, their hearing sense is so much better.
Yeah.
Than ours, because we have vision.
Yeah, I think it's so... What's interesting is that Obi-Wan, when he first describes the Force, he says that it's something that surrounds us.
Yeah.
Just as you said, it's something that's... It's in between all things, and it's this energy.
Yeah.
Right? So it's amazing that you say that, because that's exactly what the Force is. Mm-hmm. And you stretch out, and if you can tap into that, and you're sensitive, they call it being Force sensitive, right? So you can...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have those senses out there. And he can stretch his mind and all of that and connect with the Force, and the Force sends something back to him. It's amazing. I love it. It is what is so awesome. And as a kid, that was the thing. You saw the pictures of me the other day.
Yeah.
We were flipping through, and in my, like, out there on the basketball court, I had surgery on my leg, or I'm sitting in the recliner. And I told you, when you saw those pictures of me just as a little kid, I was like, just know that Ez right there is probably watching Star Wars. Star Wars is probably on in front of him, and you don't see the TV screen, but that's probably what I was watching. Mm-hmm. Because I believed that through the Force, I could do anything. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't have to be able to run and jump. No. Look at Yoda. Look what Yoda does. Powerful with the Force. You know, he said, judge me by my size. No.
I just want to hug that little Ez in the photo.
Yeah, I know.
Bad.
Yeah.
Hey. He's so darn cute.
I mean, he was a Padawan learner. He was studying the ways of the Force. And I don't know, you know.
No. Well, now he's a master.
I've leveled up a little bit. Okay. Oh, no. But yeah, it's just really cool to see that, because then Ezra is sort of looking at his master going, whoa.
Yeah.
He's seeing the clones work with a Jedi.
Yeah.
And they're actually even the ones who suggest this to Kanan.
Yeah.
That's what I think is even more powerful. It isn't like Kanan's like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
No, the clones are like, hey, we've actually worked with your master.
Yeah.
And this is what we used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
And so it makes you go even like, there's a greater sort of respect and experience that they're calling upon to say, Kanan, you can do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, yeah, they're right, I can.
Yeah.
And so then he starts to do it, and yes.
Remind me again. So Kanan's master was?
Her name is Depa Balaba.
Right. And then who was? Go ahead.
So Depa Balaba is his master. She sat on the Jedi Council.
Mm-hmm.
Her master is Mace Windu. Mace Windu is the Jedi with the purple lightsaber.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And he was the one you just saw with Count Dooku.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So in Tales of the Jedi, Mace Windu and Dooku go on that mission together, and Mace Windu gets promoted to the Jedi Council, and Dooku does not.
And back then they were kind of on the same level, same age, same, you know.
Yeah, you mean Depa Balaba and Mace Windu?
Yeah, and no, Mace Windu and
Count Dooku. Yes, yes.
And then Count Dooku trained Qui-Gon and so that's. Mm-hmm. That side, and then the other side was...
Yes.
That's interesting.
So this is it. Let's break that down for folks for just a second. That's actually a really good point. So you have, when you go back to that's why Tales of the Jedi is so cool, because you have Dooku and Mace Windu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then from Dooku, you will have his student, Qui-Gon Jinn, and then his student, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then his student, Anakin Skywalker, and then his student, Ahsoka Tano,
yeah.
Right? And then so then you go back to Mace Windu, and this is wild, yeah. right? So then you have Mace Windu, Depa Balaba, Kanan, which his name
Ezra.
Was his name
yeah.
was Caleb Doom at the
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So he's Kanan Jarrus, and then his student Ezra Bridger.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
That is cool.
It's yeah, it's awesome. And so to see that lineage or whatever is pretty mm-hmm. awesome. Now what's even cooler is on the Dooku side of things, Dooku's master was Yoda.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Dooku was actually Yoda's Padawan.
Wow.
So yeah, right? I know. So actually in episode 2, sweetie, when Yoda, so Anakin and Obi-Wan are fighting
yeah.
Dooku, if you remember that, and Yoda steps out.
Yes.
And yeah. he comes in there with his little staff
epic.
And then epic moment, gets his lightsaber, and actually it was during, no one really knew. No one knew, right? So as they're fighting, mm-hmm. they have this battle of force powers and force pushes and lightning and so on and whatnot. And I forget what Yoda says exactly, but like, you know, fought well, you have my...
Yeah.
former Padawan wow. or whatever, and you're like, whoa, I was like,
what
a second. But what did he say? That was his former Padawan. So you get that really kind of cool moment where you're like, oh, this guy's a bigger deal than
yeah.
we realize. He trained under Yoda, like mm-hmm. really trained under Yoda. Again, Yoda teaches certain classes and courses. You know, it'd be kind of like you show up to Yoda's class from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, right? Every day. So everybody's got a little bit of Yoda and then maybe some of Mace Windu when they're at the Jedi Temple when they're young. And
yeah.
then you go out for the real thing. And you kind of like you have a master choose you to be your apprentice. And then you're going out on missions and stuff.
Yeah.
So a little bigger of a deal. But
that
yeah.
was pretty cool. We're gonna go right back to the episode. I just wanted to
yeah.
tell you the first time that I had a similar story with like not the whole story, but like the story with you have masters and students.
Yeah.
was in Naruto, which I read with
oh.
Julia because
okay.
they had the books, the mangas.
Yeah. Yeah.
First, and then we watched the TV show, and she was way more into it. But I loved reading the first couple of books.
Yeah,
it was so much fun. And they had the same thing with masters and apprentices and or mm-hmm. students, and
yeah,
you know, they were ninjas, so they had,
oh, okay,
they had
okay.
like one big ninja master who was like the almost like the head of the whole village.
Like the grandmaster.
Yes, the grandmaster.
Oh
and,
boy, that's what Yoda is.
And I mean, Naruto, the little boy, he's foolish. He no one can really see his true powers because he's such a foolish little boy and just has nothing but, what do you say in English when you're just, you know, like you play pranks on everybody and just,
oh, yeah. Mischievous.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what he was. And no one really believed in him, but he had like a secret power in him because they sealed a monster in his body.
Whoa.
Like when he was born. Crazy. And he wants to become the grandmaster of the village
Whoa.
One day, but no one thinks he can do it. But anyway.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Whatever. I just wanted to tell you that I think that's awesome because we
yeah.
all have those people in our lives who taught us what we, you know, taught us.
Yeah, we learn things from. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be fighting or mm-hmm. special techniques, but like how we see the world, principles
yeah.
and morals, and it doesn't always have to be our parents, but anyone who
yeah,
was
yeah.
there for us in a special time of our lives, you know, that's pretty cool.
I think I've said this before. So the, a lot of you who write in, who send in transmissions, who sort of message me over on Star Wars Hangout 77, I sometimes, this is my, I don't know what it is, I'm driving to work, and I'll think for a hot second that I'm on my way, like, to the Jedi Temple, and I'm going in there, and many of you, as I get your messages, it's sort of like transmissions. You guys are at other Jedi outposts,
yeah.
and you're like sending me a report, or you're letting me know. Like, it's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
I know that seems so ridiculous, like, oh, that's pretty full of them solving things to Jedi Master, huh? It's like, but I think everybody's a Jedi Master, or they're a Jedi Apprentice, or they're a Jedi Knight, or they're, if you want to be a rebel, again, if you're like Harrison Doolin, you're, mm-hmm. you're, a commander or a general or whatever it might be, you're the hero of your own story. And it's just really cool to think
yeah.
about you being in that story. And then so in real life, I think of people who I interact with like that, who like Star Wars, as other Jedi Masters and other, even just Jedi Knights who are working their way up, you know.
They're in on the secret.
Yeah, it's just it's really cool to me. And so I don't know. Sometimes I take it maybe a little too far.
Dad, this morning,
oh, wow.
We had breakfast and we were rewatching episode 1 and 2.
Yeah.
To just get into the Rebels again.
Getting back into it, yeah.
And he just walks in and he just looks at us. He's like, cartoons, huh?
Yeah, cartoons. You're not even kidding, actually. So, yeah.
That's so funny. It was just like, yeah.
Because that's our life. I mean, I have, like, thankfully, he doesn't see all of my, hasn't seen yet, I don't think, all of my books, all of my Star Wars books and all of my comic books.
He's been to the apartment with all.
Yeah, maybe he has seen. Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, there's a lot, and I still have all my old action figures and stuff. We were doing a yard sale,
yeah,
right this summer, and I was like, he was looking at some of the stuff out there. I was like, I'm not getting rid of that. Right, you know what I mean? Like, no, yeah. this is staying. So it was just crazy. Anyway, but I just love the idea of master and apprentice and working together and all that kind of stuff. I just feel like it's really cool. It's just an epic sort of tale. And in episode 1, you know, when you have Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn, that's why it carries such a really cool, it's just such a cool story, I guess. A good way to start the prequels is,
yeah,
they're sent out by the Jedi Council and they're on this mission.
Yeah.
So that was just really, it's neat to see a master and an apprentice. Like, one of my favorite books right now in new canon is it's actually titled Master and Apprentice. Claudia Gray writes it, and it's all about Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. So, and then in this, you have everything. You have this little dynamic between Kanan and Hera, right? You can tell they're romantically involved. I don't know what you guys think about Sabine and Ezra, but it seems like something's going on. There's a lot of friendship and playfulness going on there, for sure. So, and then Ezra's learning underneath Kanan. And Kanan's struggling with, like, am I ready for this? And you know, am I prepared? Can I be a good Jedi Master? Can I pass on what I've learned? And then you've got Yoda showing up at the temple when they go in there and stuff. So it just all around has all these really cool, good moments that I love so much. And this episode was really these last two. And the reason we kind of combined these two is we're talking about Rex. We're talking, it was, you know, one of those to be continued part one, part two situations. And we get Rex working with Kanan, guiding them through. Ezra gets the shot, uses the Force, boom, we make our shot, and then we have one Jedi leading us out of the storm, and so on, and we're good. They're able to kind of get up and you know, fly away. And it's actually Ezra who's the heart of this and sort of says, Kanan, we can't leave these
Not
guys.
Not just once, but I
Multiple
think he has
times.
To he has to remind him like two or three times.
Yeah.
We can't just let him die here. You know they're going to die.
Yep. Yep. And Kanan, you know, the good thing about Kanan, just because you're a master doesn't mean you're always right.
Yeah.
Right? So
he's like, I hate when
he's right. The kid's right. We got to go back. That's exactly what we have to do. And it's such a good thing because Kanan sort of leads us by example there and says, it's okay to, like, hey, if a good idea is, doesn't matter where it comes from, he's right.
Yeah.
And that's what you're training Ezra to be. When we first started season 1, episode 1, you risk your neck for somebody else? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's not something he would do. And now at the start of season 2, he's risking his neck for somebody else.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do because he feels like, hey, you know, Ahsoka wouldn't want that. We're able to help. Let's do this. Yes.
I think that's what Ahsoka says in episode 2, at the end of episode 2, season 2.
Okay.
Doesn't she walk away and says everything that's worth doing is not easy? Not her wording. But
something like that. Yes.
That's what was the gist of it was...
Yeah, you know, if it's worth doing, it's it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So,
something like that.
Yeah,
she
for sure.
She walks away, and I remember her saying
that. Like the truth or the right decisions sometimes are the hard decisions,
right.
but they're worth it, really.
Yeah.
Truly, they're worth doing. It's and that good gravy. That goes all the way back to like episode 5 when Yoda is talking to Luke, and Luke asks him, he says, is the dark side stronger?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it more power? Is it so, and it's sort of it gets into that conversation of, and Obi-Wan will say this to him later in episode 5. It's the quick and the easy path. That's easy to do. You can go that way and get that power and that strength right now.
Yeah,
but it won't be worth it in the end. It's not worth it to go that route. And people are deceived by that, and they'll take the quick and easy path out, and they'll just fly away and leave, you know, Rex and those guys there. That wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And the decision to come back and save them echoes throughout the rebellion,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, it's one of those things that like you never know what those choices are going to, mm-hmm, you know, mean and what they, how they matter, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's definitely a big thing that Jedi teach their Padawans, I feel like. What was her name? Yaddle. Same thing when she was...
Yaddle. Oh, my.
When we watched... Again, we keep coming back to Tales of the Jedi because that was awesome. For me, even who didn't know all the backstories, it was so cool to watch.
So, first of all, I hope you guys are getting the same... I mean, maybe not. The fact that Lottie just brings up Yaddle out of the blue without me... prodding it. I'm shocked. And I think your brother would be shocked. He'd be like, did you just really conjure up the name Yaddle out of thin air? Where have you been up to? My gosh. It's so cool because I think about like a year from now where you will be in terms of like stuff, Star Wars, things that we've read.
Oh, you can quiz me.
Yeah, it's just, it's so cool. It's so great because as we've done our Harry Potter reread or mm-hmm, as we, you know, go and watch other series or get into those things, it's so fun to just immerse and see how connected they are. Because yeah, I think we all like a really good story, a really good book, a really good trilogy, whatever, good storytelling that inspires us and motivates
right
us. And I'm telling you right now, Rebels has all of that. And that's why it is such a good full package. These Jedi are in exile. The clones have been sort of, they've been retired and they've been replaced. The rebellion is rising. All this stuff is happening. And so it's just, it just creates such an amazing setting for this epic story. And the craziest thing about this is I know for a fact, and you guys who are listening and have heard Star Wars, you guys know that this all matters in The Mandalorian, in the Ahsoka series. It matters in terms of another big villain I'm not going to mention right now, but it's like huge. I'm not mentioning it because it matters. It's happening in this series. You are going to be able to, by the end of this series, talk about and speculate.
Okay.
Here's the coolest thing. You're going to be able to speculate about what's happening in Mandalorian Season 3,
ooh,
Mandalorian Season 4, Ahsoka series, you know, Season 1. You will literally be able to say, I think this is going to happen.
Cool.
Now, why? Because you have seen Rebels. If you don't see Rebels, it's a little bit more difficult to kind of do that and know who these people are and what's happening. So that's why it's essential that we kind of cover this.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. So this sort of ends up, you know, we make the shot. We get out the whole nine yards. It's all good. Agent Callis is on the run. He was on the speeder at the end. Remember, he gets away and the one guy's running. The one little stormtrooper guy's running like, hey, what up?
I mean,
up?
He's lost.
He's
never going to make it. Sorry.
He's a goner. Yeah, sorry. desert planet. He's not happening. But another one of those worms is going to get him probably.
That's
scary. Yep.
But why did the big star, the big ship fly away?
Oh, escape. Good call. Almost forgot about that. So Admiral Constantine gets a call. One of the communication guys says to him, hey, Admiral, like the Darth Vader is requiring our presence and mm-hmm, is telling us to report back to his ship immediately.
Yeah.
Now, what he should have done was called him up and said, hey, we're actually right on top of the rebels here and we almost got them. Can we wait just a little bit? But he doesn't. No, you obey orders instantly. And that's sort of the problem, is that they're afraid of him, so they don't want to even raise that question.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, cool, turn, boom, let's go. And they actually, remember at the end of that episode, an Inquisitor shows up.
Right, he walks in and he's like, I'm taking over.
Yeah. So Agent Callis is out there. We don't know where he's at right now. We know that an Inquisitor is now involved in the hunt for the Jedi, for the Rebels, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes this cell so interesting, and when I think when you watch Andor, and what's going to be interesting here as well with like Luthen and Mon Mothma and the different, you know, Saul Guerrera has his own rebel cell. Okay, so Saul right now is running missions just like Hera and Kanan. They're doing their own thing. This rebel cell is led by Hera Syndulla.
Right,
she's leading this. It just so happens though that there's a Jedi with them, and there's another Jedi and his apprentice. So it makes this rebel cell super important.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, whoa, okay. So the other ones are forming. They get inspired by Phoenix. And yeah, so it's sort of now bringing all the different cells and groups together.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that we're watching Andor because that is what's happening.
Yeah.
He will probably kind of rise and fill like Vel Right. So remember Vel when they did the Aldani mission?
Mm-hmm.
That was her group. Even if it's so, look at the rebels. You've just got Zeb, Sabine, Hera, right. Kanan, and Ezra. 5. Chopper. 6.
Yeah.
Right. So you then have that other group, and they've got 5, 6, 7,
mm-hmm.
and that's sort of to show you that that's all you need. That group of people working together, right, can do a lot, and they did. And they're just trying to kind of again, Luthen's sort of tracking all of that mm-hmm. and everything. So I think it just helps to kind of. I'm kind of glad they're doing that. I'm actually glad they showed us Aldani that can be done.
Yeah.
In live action, they showed us, boom, this is what we can do to hit back at the Empire. And that's what's been going on in Rebels and animation for years.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So they're a super important group. And just because they're animated,
it's just cartoons, kids. Why are you watching cartoons?
Cartoons don't really matter, do they? They do, actually. And they're a big deal.
Yeah.
And they're going to show up. And, well, the coolest thing, too, is that like we've now seen Ahsoka in live action.
Yeah.
Ahsoka was created in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Right? For the Clone Wars, for the movie, and then for the series. And so everyone's like, it's never going to happen. They're never going to do that. Heck yes, they are. Why wouldn't you? Those characters are so popular that if you need them, you want to tie it. Who can? Here's the other thing. This is what kind of drives me crazy when people go to speculate about Star Wars and they're like, no, they would never do that. Ahsoka can now be on live action on the screen and mention the likes of Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
She was there. Yeah. She knows Obi-Wan Kenobi. She spoke with Padme, right? She was, fought Duke Grievous, all of it. She knows it. She is this sort of tie through and can also pass some of that on to Luke Skywalker. He wasn't there for that. He didn't know. So that is what I think is really neat about it. And in the Rebels series, what's cool, you know, Kanan was a little bit too young for that, but we saw, I think it was in Tales of the Jedi, you asked me, like, when Ahsoka was doing all of her training, you were like, who's that sitting over there? I'm like, that is Kanan.
Yeah.
That little Jedi awesome. Sitting over there is Kanan mm-hmm. watching Ahsoka go through her training.
Yeah.
And was excited about it, he was much younger, though. So, he has some experience from that time period, and he carries that into Rebels for us, and Ahsoka does as well. But mm-hmm. again, Ahsoka moving on and being in live action now is able to talk about all those different things and what quest and mission she's been on. That stuff we'll have to hit up later because you have to finish Rebels before you can start talking about that.
I wish you could see Ez right now. Yeah, he's full teacher / Star Wars mode because he's so fired up.
I feel like I'm introducing a unit. Yeah, I'm introducing a unit. I'm getting kids hyped.
Totally. Yep.
I want them to be locked in. Actually, yeah, thinking about it now, I didn't plan anything, so it's not. Don't worry. People are like, well, this is Ez's teaching skills, and he's just rambling like a fool. No, it's more planned than that. But it does. It has the same energy. I feel like I want to get people psyched, you know, just ready to go for Rebels. Then Mandalorian Season 3 and Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And we still don't know when Mandalorian is going to drop.
I don't think so. I'll look it up, but I don't. Have you guys heard? Like, what are the rumors out there? I've been just a little bit busy and stuff. Haven't been able to track a lot of the Star Wars news or whatever. But I don't know if there is a date yet or not. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. And if anybody does know, again, I'll give you a shout out on the show. So I heard leaks, rumors, what have you. Love to get an update, because now as we go forward with the Rebel rewatch, we will be incorporating tidbits, not every episode, but if something, you know, breaks on a Tuesday or a Thursday or Wednesday, whenever we're watching the episode and coming up and doing a quick episode on it, if it broke that day, we're going to talk about it, you know, and we're going to throw that out there. So we are now locked in and ready to go. So I just feel, it feels good to be back, like watching them, recording them, because we've put that show on hold so we could do Andor and other things. And I had a lot of crazy stuff going on at the beginning of this school year. So now it feels like we can really just rip through Rebels and get after it. And I'm just stoked.
So. Yes, me too.
All right. I hear you typing away. Anything else you want to mention before we pop off here? You enjoyed these two episodes?
I did. I just wondered. Remember, I told you I wondered why was the Empire not shooting? Because they didn't have just one shot. They could have just shot in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
They surrounded. They thought they knew where the rebels were.
In the storm, yeah. Why were they
storm,
just?
In
the storm, yeah. I think that this is just a choice that they could have. They could have just blindly shot. But what actually happened is they couldn't even see each other.
True. So
they did know as they walked in what formation they were in, and if you could track your commands, you knew where you were moving. But at one point they were, had they have shot past the rebels, they would have hit each other, even though they were aiming down, you know. It's still a little bit I don't know. Yeah, it was interesting. So
they couldn't even communicate, right?
They could still talk a little bit over their comms, but their scopes were blind.
Yeah.
They couldn't see exactly precisely where the other one was. So you knew about the direction and the trajectory that they had taken off in, but they didn't know exactly. So that sort of gave them the advantage. They had Jedi who could see, and that worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, they made it out okay. Kanan can still see, so.
He can still see. We're good. We are good. So what we'll do, friends, we'll be back with episode 5, and we're probably just going to do one at a time. We wanted to get these were two that were really related. They're a to be continued sort of episode, so felt like it was easier just to talk about them as a whole. And then going forward, a lot of times the episodes will be anywhere from like 20 to 30 minutes or whatever, and if I get super pumped and excited, they might be a little bit longer. We'll see. It depends on the Rebels episode and what's actually happening in these episodes. So some of them are shorter little filler episodes, mm-hmm. although I'll say this. There are episodes that you can be like, wow, that's kind of weird. You know, it's an episode with just all the droids or an episode where some weird alien species shows up. And you're mm-hmm. like, that just seemed like a filler episode. There are no wasted episodes.
I know, sweetie, because I have seen Avatar The Last Airbender and I felt the same for some episodes. Yeah. It's
comes
the
back.
Same thing. You kind of have to watch the first couple of episodes to get into it and then you will love it. The end is so good.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have those episodes that kind of feel like filler episodes, but if you go back and rewatch the entire series, they make sense. They are, you know, awesome.
Right.
They show you the character development.
Yeah, yeah, and for sure.
Yeah, I love it. So.
And I felt like since you liked Avatar, you would really like this because, it takes a little bit of time to get into it. And definitely we needed some time for season one to really get us into who these characters were. It's a bit slow, but I'm telling you, by the end of season 2, 3, and 4, your mind will be blown.
Yeah. Do you have anything, any transmissions to read?
Nothing right now. And we'll save those two for, like, I do have one or two, but I'm going to save those for the Andor episode that's coming up.
Okay.
We have our Andor finale coming up on Wednesday. So we'll watch it Wednesday, and then we'll drop that for you guys. And by the way, coming up this week is Thanksgiving week. So here in the States, Thanksgiving. For your first Thanksgiving since 2011. 2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, long time.
Yep.
Long time. Anyway, shout out to all of you. Hopefully you guys are having a good week and you guys are enjoying it. It's been cold. If you're up in Buffalo and those other areas, I hope you're not buried under, all that snow. But also, I do enjoy looking at the images and it's crazy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Hoth. Not going to lie. Snow planet. So.
Huh.
Anyway, all right, friends. Hey, thank you guys so much. Please like, please subscribe, all that good stuff. Send us those transmissions if you have thoughts on the Rebels rewatch as we go along, or we get to those big episodes and you want to get your thoughts in, or something you just really like about the series. Please send those in. Lottie would love to sort of read through them and talk about them. I think it'd be great
as
fun.
As long as they're spoiler free.
As long as they're spoiler free, we'll be fine. So make sure you get those in. You can send that to StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com or send us a message at StarWarsHangout77 just over on Instagram or Fleur and Bill as well, too. If you want to check out our hair pot. I've had either not enough coffee or too much coffee. Our Harry Potter.
What was in your coffee?
Harry Potter podcast. Check out Shell Cottage Radio where we have had a bunch of different guest on, magical guest.
Please check out next week's episode. So this upcoming Wednesday, we'll release the episode, our interview with Michaela.
Yeah.
Because she's also a big Star Wars fan.
Yeah, we will have her on this podcast when we do Mandalorian. So really, even if you guys get a chance, you want to go over and say, hey, Star Wars Hangout or Ez and Lottie, send us over here. Leave a comment on one of her Instagram posts. She's super responsive, actually.
Yes, she is. Though she has a ton of followers, but she'll answer most of her messages.
Yeah, she is really just a good, wholesome person. So go support her, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. I mean, she's hilarious, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we hope to have her on this podcast. But definitely go to Rochelle Cottage Radio and check that out. There.
Mm-hmm.
All right, friends. Hey, with that, thank you all so much. And as always, may the Force
be with you.
It's over, Commander.
Did you hear that?
Don't underestimate the Force.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.